You should also see The Hero of Color City, especially if you've got kids. It opened yesterday at several theaters throughout the valley, and it's actually the animation studio right here in the valley. It's called Gopher Launch Studios, and we have two of them right here in the studio with us. Creative Director Philip A. Cruden and Production Manager Lorraine Cruden, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
It's rare that we get, you know, Hollywood stars in Glendale, Arizona. How do we do that?
I don't know. You know, the thing is, what's really interesting is that, you know, yes, they've got the movie that came out yesterday, but they're responsible for a lot of different animated movies. I mean, some that mean a lot to me. Anastasia, I mean, that movie
Fantastic.
Was just so wonderful. I mean, I actually have the music box. I have to tell you, I have the music box.
Of course he does.
Of course I do. You know I do. And, yeah, you did some concept work for Ice Age. You know, it's terrific. Well, let me tell our listeners about The Hero of Color City, just so we get everyone caught up. A diverse band of crayons strive to protect not only their magical, multi-hued homeland, but the imagination of children everywhere from a terrifying monster. You got a great great voice talents in this movie. Christina Ricci, Sean Astin, who's been on our show before, and Owen Wilson. And, you know, so tell us what you did for The Hero of Color City.
Well, in a nutshell, creating what the film's going to look like, which is basically production design. So production design is, on this film, we had to dig right in. So it's like, okay, let's find a look. And we pretty much found a look fairly quickly. So once you find a look, now you then have to figure out what you need to create for the movie. And Lorraine can tell you more about that with...
Well, we spend a fair bit of time analyzing. So we're basically in right at the start. So because what we basically do is mostly pre-production. When you know what you want the film to look like, then you have to decide what it is you need to create. So I spend time analyzing the script, deciding what locations we're at, what props do we need to design, you know, what exactly are the characters going to pick up, and or are they going to be in boats, are they going to be on bicycles? So we have to decide or analyze the script and figure out everything that needs to be created. excuse me. And from there, I usually, you know, once we've decided everything that needs to be created, then you have to, of course, document and track it.
So do you both read the script and put your heads together? Is that how it is?
Yeah, sort of, because it's a matter of going through the script and listing everything out. So and other than doing a second pass on that with another person, it's just to double check that we haven't missed anything. And, of course, things change because the script stays fluid. Up until almost right to the end. But so in the creation of the film, we're literally kind of the first step because we have to do some preliminary designs before storyboards can get done.
Right.
And so when we start roughing things out, then we start to get a feel for what it's supposed to look like. Then with the list that Lorraine puts together of what we're going to need, then we literally just start creating that stuff. We generally start almost everything pencil to paper. So first, it's a lot easier to scribble something out for an idea than it is to try and get something to final, because the director may not like it. So once we've done our scribbles and we're okay with it, director's okay with it, then we start to polish it. Then we start to do our work in Photoshop to get the character looking the way that we want. Once that line work is approved and the cleaned up version of whether it be the character or prop or whatever, we then go down. Now we go on to the new process, which is art directing, and that's figuring out what the color is going to be. And on Color City, the name says it all, Color City, it was a bit of a challenge because we had every crayon you can imagine. But on top of that, the whole city's color.
It's a very bright movie.
It's a super, super bright movie. Yeah. It was for us, it was a very fun movie to work on. It was an awesome experience. But getting that color to worked out, that was probably the toughest part of the whole movie. Not saying it was, you know, super, super tough, but trying to figure that out.
Now, you also probably have to get the characters, you know, for the different crayons. I know that was probably someone else decided who the characters were, right?
Yes, that's all laid out in the script.
But then you have to figure out what they, you know, look like? What qualities make you know, the crayon that's the happiest of the bunch or whatever, right? So what kind of work goes into that?
Well, the characters, basically the characters get designed exactly based on who they are in the script. And in this case, Yellow, who's shy, there's Black, who's disgruntled because
Black is
depressed.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's depressed. And then of course you've got White, who never gets used. So their look has to
match their sort of like their soul or their purpose
the
for being here.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the character designs were actually done by Eric Hummonson. It's Hummonson, right? Yeah.
I'm sorry, blanking on his last name.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Hummonson. He was on the East Coast.
Oh, wow.
So, and of course, we're here in Arizona. But yeah, he did his pass, which was his rough pass. We then took it from there. And then we did the cleanup pass, he did the original concepts.
Interesting. Now, prior to the script, I'm still thinking of the last.
What are you thinking about?
I'm not sure.
Those nudies.
Yeah, we had Jack H. Harris on. He's done anyway.
Yeah.
Long story. Prior to the script, I suspect you talked to the writer and some key people. Is that correct? That you talked to them? At all, or
in this case, no.
No, you don't.
No, the script was basically it evolved over a number of years because it's like with any movie, it takes a while to get it off the ground. So there was an original script, then it moved on to another pass, and then it finally landed in the director's lap, which was Frank Gladstone. So once Frank has that script, he's now going to go through and polish it for what he thinks is funny, what he thinks is the main through line, where he thinks the song should be. And in fact, the movie didn't have any songs until Frank said, "Hey, we need some songs." And
interesting,
he actually wrote a couple of them too, which was kind of cool.
Really,
yeah. But in other films past, yeah, heavily involved in the evolution of the script. This film being what I would consider independent film. And budget restraints, you kind of have to streamline the entire process.
The entire process, yeah.
So, you really do.
So other films that you've made, you've talked to the writer and so on, the directors. So the question then is this, is what you do, does intuition play a part, just a feeling? So it's not mechanical, but things just pop up intuitively for you, thinking, hey, this is how it's going to look, as you talk to maybe the writer. Just because a script is just black and white on paper.
Absolutely.
But there's passion involved, and there's probably, you know, different adjectives and stuff that a writer and director would communicate to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, on some films or projects, TV shows, whatever, some directors like to be in charge of everything, and they want their vision shown through. And if you get a director, say, that's not an artist, that becomes really difficult. Some are really good at it. I mean, Steven Spielberg and guys of that nature. Michael Bay, another great one. But in animation, it's really hard to go, okay, well, this is what I have in mind. And on some of the projects that we've worked on, the director just lets you go with it. You know, surprise me, show me.
Oh.
And that's kind of what we did on Color City. We originally started off by making the buildings all round and bubbly, a little bit more like Toontown at Disney. And so we did a version like that. And then we did several versions of that. Let's say we did 20 drawings, which it wasn't. It's probably 10 now that I think about it. That way you go to Frank and then as the director, and then he said, you know what? I don't want to go round and bubbly with them. Let's do, because the characters are round and bubbly, let's go with straight lines on the building. So that's what we did. Came up with the look, and he's like, yep. That way we can now move forward.
Wow, excellent. Well, we've got...
I got a question
for
you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you a big fan of Disney? Because I see you're wearing a Mickey Mouse shirt.
I'm a huge fan of Disney. I'm a huge fan of animation. I'm a huge fan of Angry Birds.
I love Angry Birds.
Anything to do with cartoon. I mean, I grew up watching Bugs Bunny and The Roadrunner, so... Okay. You know, and Disney, of course.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow, and Emmy winners.
That's so exciting. I mean, I always admire... business owners. I happen to be a CPA and a business consultant, so I really admire people in business. But this Emmy intrigues me. Why don't you tell the story? What did you win the Emmy for?
Well, we're working on the Barnyard TV series. We created around 90 episodes, did all the design work for each show, and we won a special recognition Emmy. For seasons 2008 and 2009 of the Barnyard TV series.
That's a great accomplishment. Yeah. It really is recognition as the best in your industry. And there's so many great, you know, people in your industry. That's got to feel good.
It's very true. It definitely was an honor. And it was kind of a surprise because we had no clue.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't even know we'd been nominated. So.
We didn't know we'd been nominated.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
It was very cool.
And you were talking about before the break how, you know, you're a big fan of animation, anything animated. I mean, I am as well. I mean, a lot of the I love Tiny Toon Adventures. I mean, Animaniacs, all the Warner Brothers stuff is just terrific. And then, I mean, I have such fond memories of Anastasia. I remember, you know, when the movie was coming out, and then, you know, a lot of the stuff was, you know, coming from right here in the valley. I actually have, I mean, I mentioned the music box, right, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
I also have Bartok hanging from my wall, and he's been the angel on my Christmas tree a few years.
That's
Bartok,
that's
isn't
awesome.
Bartok amazing?
Yes.
Yeah, Bartok was a great character. He was animated by John Hill. He was the lead animator for that character, but yeah, there could have been a lot more Bartok. I mean,
really?
he definitely was the comic relief of the whole film.
Yeah, and I know that he had his spinoff film. Were you responsible for or had anything to do with the spinoff as well? Wasn't Bartok's magical?
Actually, that's kind of got a funny story. At the time, I was working on, I was doing concept work for Ice Age. That's right.
Okay.
And then shortly after that, we were doing concept work for Titan AE. At the time, it was called Planet Ice, and there were going to be two crews working within the studio. So Planet Ice, Titan, ended up getting shelved.
Mm.
Then it came back again, so we were working away on that. Then it went away again, and then Ice Age came back. So at the time, we were actually doing concept work for Ice Age, and all of a sudden, I get a call from Don Bluth upstairs. Can you come up and see me? So I get up there, and he says, looks like Titan AE is moving forward, so we need to hop on it, but you need to help me finish Bartok.
Wow.
So I was like, he had three sequences left that he had to storyboard, and he just wanted to get them done as quickly as he could. So I helped him what way I could.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Now, you worked on also Adam Sandler's Eight Crazy Nights. What did you do for them, and have you met Adam Sandler?
Yes.
How is he in person?
Had a few meetings with Adam. When there's serious stuff going on, he's serious. So he knows when to joke around and when not to joke around, because, let's face it, when you start goofing around, things can get distracted and things don't happen. So very professional. The times when it's fun, he has a big holiday party where he invites all kinds of people.
Oh, wow.
And so
I can go. Can you go?
I'm available, no matter what day it is.
I ended up going 2 years in a row, and, he throws on a big party. I don't know if you've ever heard of Jerry's Deli, which is on Ventura.
Oh, absolutely. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Jerry's Deli is everywhere, and yes.
Well, he rents out the entire basement where all the bowling alleys are.
Really? Is that in Studio City on Ventura Boulevard?
Yes.
Yeah, that one. I've been to that one, yeah.
He rents it out every year, and the time that I was there, there was a bunch of the Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty close with Rob Schneider, I think.
David
Spade.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you going this year?
No. No. It's kind of lost touch. I mean, that
can I convince you to go with two new friends.
If we can get invites.
If we can get invites, we'll make it happen.
So he probably has a bunch of, you know, Hollywood stars and so on at these parties, I'm sure.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I've always, don't get me wrong, I respect what they do, but they put their pants on the same way we do.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean? So I try, the only time I was ever like in awe was Angela Lansbury, believe it or not.
Ah.
Because she's such an icon, a legend. So
yeah. She was in some Disney movies.
Yeah.
And she did one of the voices in Anastasia.
Oh, really?
Yep. She was the
grandmother.
Oh, wow. Nice. Wow, you've been so successful. So many things. The Pink Panther you did?
Yeah, that was a reboot. And the guy that played Max Headroom did the voice. So they
Matt
gave
Frewer.
A voice. Is that his name?
Yeah, Matt Frewer was Max Headroom.
And no, I can't remember how many episodes I worked on that. I really can't.
And then, you know, Jimmy Neutron, I mean, that wasn't that long ago. I mean, that shows what a fan of animation I am, that, you know, Jimmy Neutron means a lot to me. I was doing my hair like Jimmy Neutron for a while.
I actually like that show.
Yeah? It's a great movie, great TV show. And then, you know, you got Planet Sheen, the spinoff. That was great as well. and so you know, so many credits. And what are you working on next? I noticed something on your website. Again, Go for Launch Studios. You've got a couple websites, right? Where can people find the best information?
Well, Lorraine and I formed a new company, so we have two companies, Go for Launch Animation Studios, and then we also have a new company, Go for Launch Games.
Okay.
So,
video games.
Yeah, our next app game.
App games.
Oh, app games. Yeah. Wow, Android, that's a thing of the future.
Yeah. So under Go for Launch Productions, we have actually worked on several games. We worked on a couple of games for Disney. We worked on a company here in Valley that was doing a Stargate.
Stargate Worlds.
Stargate Worlds. They were doing a big MMO game. Unfortunately, they had their own internal issues, and that one fell apart. So we have worked on several games, like as I said, a couple games for Disney and one that they had been working on for Marvel. So, but we decided to start our own company and work on our own app game. So.
That is cool because that industry is just growing. I mean, video and then app games I haven't heard of before, but that's going to be as big as anything. That's just fantastic. So you know how to do the apps and the whole thing.
Yeah, and can I mention what we have coming out?
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, we hit a milestone the other day. We just uploaded our binary to the App Store. And it's just waiting approval, but our new game should be out in the next couple of weeks. It's called Spaceman Skip and the Nebulblobs.
And you created this.
We created the whole thing.
The Nebulblobs. That sounds... Nebulblobs?
Nebulblobs.
Yeah.
Like the Blob, the movie.
Yeah.
You got it.
Is it free?
No, it's actually going to be a paid app, although it's not an expensive app. But there's no in-app purchases. There's no in-app advertising. You buy the game, and you get to play as much as you want.
Oh, wow.
So we really felt that was the model that we wanted to follow. We have a partner out in California, so we did all the design work, filled out all the artwork and design of the game. We, all three of us kind of together, developed the game itself, what the gameplay experience is going to be, and our partner, who's in California, is the one who coded the entire game. So
he also did all the cool music.
The
music on it's extremely cool.
Well, we'll have to have you on again to really in detail describe this. I think we're up against the break, but...
Yeah.
But I'd love to have you. We used to have a show called People and Games on our network, and it was all about video, and we had a video expert on this, and it intrigued me quite a bit.
Well, everyone needs to check out.
We would love to. We'd be honored.
Yeah.
Check out.
What's your website?
Yeah, the website again, is it Go for Launch, GFLAnimationStudios.com. GFLAnimationStudios.com. Everyone check out Spaceman Skip and the Nebulblobs. And also be sure to check out The Hero of Color City playing in theaters right now.